Like walking into worlds, like I would ask a question with my dear uncle Squatacompton, Floyd Joseph, and he would say, he would just give me a smirk and then he would tell me a story. And then I tried to be Skalk, the Raven, try to be the trickster and try to spin it another way the next night. And he would just give me a funny look and continue exactly where he left off. And I didn't understand at the time. But then I realized, oh, my goodness, this is how he was taught. Mm. He was taught this way by his elders. Right. As he was trained to be a chief, he started training when he was 8 years old. So when his siblings were outside, he was inside listening to all the teachings and the story work from the elders. So it finally dawned on me that that's how he was taught. He's telling me the story because he knows I need to grab something from that story, which I eventually kind of had a aha moment and realized, like, oh, I know what he meant by that. Oh, okay, I get it. So it really made me think a lot, like how a lot of times we, not everyone's spends enough time thinking about that, the story work or the teachings. But when you think about it, a lot of these stories at different ages, you take something different from each of these stories. So I thought that's the beauty of a lot of our story work, is that you can benefit from it from different ages. And it's so uplifting to learn, but also encouraging to know. And I think that's why we prefer that term knowledge holder. I know when in the education, they would come and ask me, the teachers asked me to come in and share story works with their class. They would introduce me and say the indigenous expert, and I'd be looking at the door like, well, who else is here, right? And then they would say my name, and like, oh. And I would share like, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. When you think about indigenous knowledge holders, we don't see ourselves as experts. We may have a lot of knowledge, but there's like, I might know a lot more things than a certain knowledge holder, but they may carry more teachings than a few other things. So I think that's the humbling piece, is that know that, because it encourages you to have an open mind to learning. And that's something I always encourage teachers and allies alike. Everyone I talk to in regards to our ways of being is having an open mind to these teachings, because you never know. You might adopt some of these teachings, because I share our culture is in a light switch. It isn't a 9-to-5. It's something you carry, something you practice, and it's a part of you. So so I share that. Like, it may even shift who you become.
Right.
Because you take on these teachings, which is, to me, it's an honor to have that. And I always am thankful for our allies in that piece, because I would share story work and they would go home and share what they witnessed. Because in the long time ago, that's another piece I think about with the Two Worlds piece, is that as a traditional speaker, a speaker of ceremony, I've done many ceremony speakings, whether it was for celebration, a welcoming back to family. Graduation ceremony, or it's a funeral.
Even the event that I met you yesterday night.
Right? Yeah.
So AI event. Actually.
Right? Yeah. AI cultural opening. So,
right.
So a lot of times I'll do cultural openings and share teachings and words. And I think about that a lot, is that when we walk into worlds, the way I was as a speaker, it would say that we would call, a lot of times when we have ceremony, we call witnesses. They would get 50 cents, and a lot of my teacher friends were like, what's the significance of the quarters? And I said, well, it's something that everyone knows, but way back when, you could buy a blanket from the Hudson Bay Company for 50 cents.
Oh.
but they don't always have, so as the blankets got more expensive, the 50 cents is the significance of the blankets, like giving a blanket and thank you. But in the way, and what you do, called as a witness, we didn't always have Facebook or internet for people to witness. It was, so what would happen is those witnesses that were called, they would go home and they would share what they learned that day, share the good work that the family did. They would go home, share with the community and their family, their friends, the good work they witnessed. And it's something that we still practice today. It's a way of keeping our culture alive, but also letting our ancestors know that we're doing our part to keep our cult, their teachings alive.
Yeah, and their heritage.
Yes. So, and that's part of why I enjoy sharing who we are, because that's it's an honor. And yeah, thankful for the opportunities. And yeah, and vice versa. And with the last night's opportunity, I got to meet you, Charlotte, and have this opportunity to speak to everyone here. And it's, I just love it. It's great.
Yeah, I can see that you truly appreciate your culture, because you, last night actually, mm-hmm. in the event, mm-hmm. I saw you, you mean like, because I went there a little late, but mm-hmm. then your outfit immediately mm-hmm. caught my attention, mm-hmm. and I almost immediately understand that mm-hmm. This is something that represents indigenous culture, even mm. without having a deep conversation with you. Mm. So I think this is one part of it, is that when we're truly proud of who we are, or mm. when we found the identity, self-identity, and I think that actually help us overcome being timid, but being mm. more audacious of trying different things. And also, at the same time, I think my experience really relate to what your experience is, that being someone who is not, like, the culture is not the default mm. in the environment. Mm. And then there are a lot of humbling experience. But then I realized, like you said, the no matter if it's an outfit, the music, or especially the language. Mm. And that's not just when you learn new language. It's mm. more almost represent the whole world and mm. mind of this person. And then you can see, or you can adopt or mastering this language by mm. knowing their culture more deeply. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. It allows for people to have a more open mind to having a being able to learn some of our words, how to say certain words like
ni hao to Chinese. Yeah, yeah. Chinese.
Is that hello?
Or? Yeah, is that, that's hello. Like ni hao if you.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah. And funny enough, with our Squamish language, you would say no.
That's hello.
And then chuk wachanam.
Could you teach me? Because I kind of want to. But it sounds a little complicated.
So when I say no, that means hello.
Oh.
And then when I say chuk, that means you.
Okay.
And then wachanam is what are you doing? So chuk wachanam means what are you doing?
Chuch
wachanam.
Chuch wachanam.
Yes.
Okay. I know I'm not perfect, but like I think that's very
pretty good.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. It's a lot of our words are very guttural. So you got some of our words like muxin as muxin. Your nose.
Okay.
Kolom.
Kolom.
If you want to say plural, kokolom.
Kokolom.
And that's, so you go from, that's I, kolom is eyes, and then kokolom is eyes. Or so I is kolom, and then kokolom is eyes.
Oh, right.
But then you get to belly button, and it's pronunciated mochya.
Mochya.
Yeah, mochya.
Like, mochya. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a. Yeah, there you go. Mochya.
I think, I'm pretty happy with my pronunciation. Yeah, thank you so much.
But it's fun to learn some of the words. And it's like any language, you're training your tongue, you're strengthening your tongue. It takes time to say some of the words.
Yeah, so it's really not easy. No. I just realized I'm trying to mimic the pronunciation, but there's challenge already.
Oh, no, and I think the thing that really touches our community is that the effort.
Mm.
When people try to say, hall squile to noyup, Charlotte, queen sna, that would be like saying, good day to you all. Charlotte is my name. So yeah, even just, I know some of our allies, they can do that. They could say, they can introduce themselves.
With practice,
and with practice, of course. Yeah. And it's always uplifting for me in my heart to hear that, because I know that they appreciate who we are, our language, and they took the time to practice because their pronunciation's perfect.
I know. Actually, like my friend, her name is Andrea. She told me she could speak 5 languages, and I was like jaw dropped because those 5 languages are very different languages.
For sure.
So, like, what you do, because your English is native English speaker, that kind of English, right?
Yeah.
But then at the same time, you do speak this indigenous language. Did you pick them up at the same time?
I would say that when I started speaking language, it was something I started as a kid.
Mm.
So my late grandpa Ernie Pequotin Siam.
Right.
He Pequotin Siam. So when our loved ones pass, there's at the end of their Kwashami, and so you know that it's a loved one that is passed. But But yeah, he would do language lessons with us, and then we would do language less like games. We'd play like language bingo.
Okay.
It was great, and we would count, and then he was a great teacher, and then my auntie Suecia Spakwas Alice Harry, she would teach us language as well, and right now it's such at the forefront right now. After completing the SFU language program, getting my diploma in that, I came away realized, and also completing my master's in education through SFU. So both of these degrees I got through SFU. I was really thankful, but I also realized that we need more language speakers. So I wouldn't say I'm fluent. I'd say I'm a language champion, and I'm always learning to get better, be better, because I was blessed to have Satalton and Matulia and Kim. Oh man, I it's escaping me how to say my teacher Becky's name. It's a trickier Kwashamin to share. To say, but it's, but yeah, they all have such beautiful teachings in regards to our language. I gathered strengths from each of them.
Right.
I know with each of our knowledge holders, our chiefs, spending time with them, learning, kind of picking their brains and, but also our language champions.
Right.
I always try to challenge myself to speak more or add more to when I speak, when I know that we have teachers there, so that if I need constructive criticism, they're there to say, hey, this is really good, but maybe you could say it like this as well, right? So a lot of our ways of being too is when you are sharing teachings, you won't call someone out in front of everybody, you just pull them aside like, hey, this went really well, but maybe you can add this or do this as well. So yeah, so I'm really thankful that way because it's a kinder way, but also encourages more growth. I've always wanted to be more in the language, and before I would refer to other language champions like my nephew Johnny. I was like, "Hey Johnny, how do I say?" And then I would pick some of my colleagues. Brains to help me, right? So I would just kind of. Yeah, so it's, but yeah, it's something I'm always working on, but also champion too for our youth and community to learn. Right now, we're about to start Language Nest in the Squamish Valley, and we have families that are interested. So the interest, the spark is there, and I hope it just keeps growing.
Right, that sounds amazing. Maybe we should co-host a workshop for people to know this culture or even trying to practice the language, right?
Yeah.
And I actually do have a question very related to a lot of our audiences.
For sure.
Because Vancouver, Canada is a big immigrant country or place, right? Mm-hmm. So we have very diverse culture. And for people like some, let's say Chinese people who mm-hmm. immigrated here earlier, they grew up as ABC, CBC, like Canadian-born Chinese or mm-hmm. maybe Canadian-born Japanese, whoever it is, they always encounter this kind of problem where they went to school during the time that they grew up, they had mm-hmm. to speak English, right? Mm-hmm. And then when they went back home, their parents or their family probably spoke this local language, mm-hmm. like Chinese or Japanese, you mm-hmm. name it. And like your experience, like indigenous mm-hmm. language, right? Then your grandpa or some people taught you that, mm-hmm. and then they encourage you to say that. However, this caused the gap between, like, for kids, it's like, oh my god, where I am, like, what should I do? And sometimes their culture not appreciated, so then they become this, like, in this huge zone where they feel mm-hmm. really challenged.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure you probably can share some of your perspectives or experiences
sure.
to help those kids or people to be better of dealing with this and accepting their cultures.
Oh, for sure. I think that's such a beautiful thing. Thanks for asking that, Shari. I think that's a big thing, is sometimes our kids, out of shyness, might forget who they are or be shy to kind of just be proud of who they are. Be the person you're meant to be, I always say to the youth. You need to talk to someone. That's what we're here for.
Right.
Come talk to somebody. We can't read your minds, because if we could, we'd be making lots of money doing something else, right? So,
right.
So I would share that with them, and usually gets a chuckle and kind of breaks the ice. But I think the biggest thing is I will share with the youth is that we all come from different backgrounds, but I think the beauty of life is that, you know, there's no limit to how many friends you can make. There's no limit to what you can learn. I think if you have an open mind, you can do anything that you put your mind to. I think, you know, I didn't think I would be able to make it through a master's degree, but after that first term, that was, I would say it's the toughest part as a student, so it was the first term. But once you kind of figure out how that works and how to walk in that world, it makes it a little easier. And just know that you just got to get through that first term. But for those coming from other countries, just know that anything of value takes time. I think learning a language takes time. I was having a talk with one of my friends, and we talked about how English could be tough to learn when you're coming from another country, not because it's like super elaborate, but because you have to learn how to detect sarcasm and and the different tones, because you can say something five different ways just by your tone. And and I always think about that. And I know, but yeah, I always used to think about all the teachings I learned from my friends that have been all across the world. And I think that was something I was blessed with in Squamish, is that I had friends of all different backgrounds, and I would learn from them, and they would teach me, and vice versa, I would teach them about who I was. And it was really neat to kind of learn the parallels, the differences, but also, like, you know, like I know in Chinese mythology, the dragon's held in high regard, right? And it's like such a powerful being, much like the Thunderbird is for our Squamish people, or our First Nations people in general. Thunderbird's a powerful being, as well as the Sasquatch.
Wow.
The Squamish, we call him the Smiley.
I think that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to have a follow-up question.
Yeah.
Because I think kids, a lot of time, when we were kids, we wouldn't understand all those differences, how the culture is super important to identify or help us to identify who we are. Mm-hmm. And that really builds up self-confidence, and also, like, maybe later on, self-efficacy. But I think, how would you give the advice to those parents who are trying to guide their kids to be involved in the country they move to, let's say Canada, Vancouver, but at the same time, parents do want to to have their kids to remember their culture by speaking the local language. What advice, because you mentioned that your grandpa did this amazing job guiding you through embracing this culture, and then later on appreciate the language and really wanted to learn the language and represent your culture. So what kind of advice or other suggestion you would give to those parents or grandparents to educate their kids?
I would say that's a good point. Thank you, Charlotte. I would say that as an Indigenous knowledge holder, when others take the time to learn how to introduce themselves in our language, it's a high honor. For me, it really touches me to know that they took that time to learn who we are, but also how to introduce themselves. But also know that I think you need to know who you are before you get to where you're going. So it's a really strong base for you in regards to that. And I always appreciate that, because I've got a lot of youth at Don Ross Middle School. They amazing ally students as well. They just, you know, it touches my heart to see how much they love just helping with that work, but also realizing that it is important work, and that it, you know, standing up for as allies with our First Nations people is an important work, and it's so uplifting to see how excited they are to join us with the celebrating peace and practicing who we are. And to me, that's that piece, because some of those youth will become amazing allies for our Indigenous people somewhere. It's always my hope that they will be help be the driving force to change the world to where all our Indigenous people are seen as equal and treated as such. And I think that's seems like it's so far away, but you know, it's quite empowering to see that piece when the parents buy in, though, and also know that, you know, their kids are in good hands when they're with our knowledge holders. We think about, I shared with when I did my master's, my focus was on relationship building.
Oh, right.
And I, as a youth worker, I found that was lacking where I was at. So I always try to think of ways. So when I broke that down, one of the teachers, like the principal, he asked me why. My friend Corey, he shared, how do we make the Indigenous culture visible, more visible?
Right.
And I think it was the beliefs, but also, like, you know, who we are through mural, story work, language, but also practicing that. And I think as I share with the staff many times, is that when I was working at Don Ross, I didn't just see the Indigenous youth as my nephews and nieces. I saw all the kids like that. So that those that were of other backgrounds, they were comfortable with me. And I think that was a big thing, is they appreciated that. So I still get youth that come and talk to me years after. About some teachings I might have shared with them, or teachings they carry, because I took a moment to build that relation. So I am always thankful for that. And, you know, I actually did a weightlifting workout piece with the kids. And originally I was intended to reach the youth, Indigenous youth I was working with, but they kind of got disengaged. So I continued it to all the youth that wanted to do it. And I still get a lot of youth that say that.
Right.
So I did that with the purpose of teaching them to take negative energy and expel it in a good way. So, and as many of you may know, that the workouts are one of the best things you can do, whatever it is.
I mean, I really appreciate your answer. I would say, like, not the parents not to force their kids to speak their native language, but to make them have some fun experience to immerse in the culture activities, right?
Yeah,
unfortunately, we're going to have to move towards the end of the show. I have so much fun with Anthony, and really appreciate you sharing your culture. Before we wrap it up, then I wanted to know that could you share briefly to share with our audiences what's the next move? Do you have any activities or workshops that you host that you wanted people or you encourage people to come and join and have fun?
Oh, thank you, Charlotte. I appreciate your time and energy. I think that's the beauty of being a radio host is having that amazing energy, that high energy and that passion. I sense that with your interview and speaking with you. But it's for me, I think it's there's a lot of amazing opportunities. We have a lot of, like, I know the Hubaye is the Nishka New Year is a big thing coming up that will be at the I don't know if it's at the Pini Foregrounds this year, but that's where it's been the previous years. Our dance group, Waltamaka Hosam, will be going up north to be a part of that. So I'm excited about that. But we have events like Orange Shirt Day, Indigenous Day, where we have celebrations. I think we have a powwow in the North Shore in second week, I think. Second week in July, usually. I think it's we have like a lot of really amazing work. I know... it's always encouraged to, people to come check it out, engage and see what's what, right? It's always uplifting for our communities to build those relations, but hey, maybe there's questions you might have. Yeah. There's a lot of times you might have a lot of amazing knowledge holders walking around and not know it unless you know who's there, right?
Yeah.
So I would say that, there's and also there are venues as well. Like if you go to the Squamish Liwat Cultural Center in Whistler, that's another amazing venue to go, where our ambassadors will share songs and we'll give you a tour of the space as well. So it's awesome work, and I always appreciate just even just being a fly on the wall to witness them do their thing.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing. Maybe you will send me those information and we can help to post. And I look forward to be engaged in those cultures.
Yeah.
And also to our listeners, you're listening to Call Me Negotiator at Witch Tone every Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. And you can tune in on CJSF 90.1 FM on Burnaby Mountain or join us live at CJSF by clicking Listen Live. Thank you so much. And I will see you next Thursday. Bye-bye.
Country, babe, don't you wanna go? I'm going up the country, babe, don't you wanna go? Take you to some place I've never been before. I'm going, I'm going where the water tastes like wine. I'm going where the water tastes like wine. We can jump in the water, stay drunk all the time. Don't leave this city, got to get away. Don't leave this city, got to get away. All the bugs in the fire, man, you know I sure can't stay. The bag of pack, leave the truck, you know you've got to sleep today. And just exactly where we're going, I can't say. But we might even leave the USA. Game that I just want to play. I know you see me running or screaming and crying, cause you've got a whole man and I've got mine. Don't you wanna go? Take you you've got a whole man.